This is Stories Worth Sharing from the Church of England.
Carol Wolstenholme explains how boosting confidence has reinvigorated Christians in the Northeast to live out their faith both in church and in the community.
There was a realisation that sitting at the front of diocesan synod chairing it, that the voices of lay people were really only a whisper in comparison to those of the clergy. And yet I knew many of the people in the room who were confident and articulate in their workplaces and their communities. So we decided that the best thing to do was to find out why, and undertook some research that highlighted that many lay people who'd been elected didn't feel confident. I think that was the overall consensus, that confidence was missing. And when we dug down a bit, the reason why people didn't feel confident came into three areas. One was they didn't understand church language and the procedures that were taking place. Second was they didn't feel they had sufficient knowledge and understanding about what was being asked from them. And thirdly, they felt intimidated by the confidence and knowledge of their clergy colleagues, and the impact of all those things meant that their voices were not heard. We decided as a result of this research we needed to do something to recognise and affirm those people. And particularly, I think there is some of the statistics that were coming out helped me look at it. You know, 98% of church membership is lay people. And so we have really key roles, not only within church structures, but in daily life as disciples living out our faith in workplaces and homes and communities.
What events and resources have you used to support lay people?
So we began a number of interventions which ranged from changing the physical environment of synod meetings and simplifying agendas, which were the easy bits, through to arranging events where lay people could have conversations, get to know each other better, and also to learn together. One of the pivotal events was a conference for 100. We chose a fun venue, and we invited an opera singer who began the day by singing and teaching us how to sing and dance out well.
And sounds fun.
It was great fun, and I think it just released people to be able to talk and be enthusiastic. And that was followed by a day on renewal and reform agenda. So it was a good start to the day. The conference actually confirmed, I think, for us, not only that these lay voices wanted to be heard, but they did want to be a part of the future of the church. We talked about reimagining ministry and being involved in social justice and growing the church, which were the three things that General Synod had for the quinquennium. And those lay people were just ready to sign up for it. They were actually excited about what they heard. Church growth wasn't a fear to them. It was like, let's get into it. And so we realised that part of our task was to provide some opportunities for them and prepare the ground for their energy and their participation.
What's the effect been on the culture in the diocese?
All those things, which now, 2 years ago since they took place, do seem to be working. We've got more lay people prepared to take on roles within the church in deaneries and in things like finance and strategy, as well as taking on leadership roles in task groups and projects which are much more outward facing. I think there's been a change in the climate and the contributions at Synod and at Bishops' Council meetings. They're now quite enlivened by the sound of lay voices and wise counsel. So gifts and expertise are being harnessed for the good, I think, of both the gathered and the dispersed church. I think some of the things that are evidence for us are we have lay people who are leading task groups on subjects like discipleship, local ministry development and poverty. And when I was thinking about this interview, I was looking and recalling names and people, and I can see David and Michael and Francis, who are committed trustees and managers at food banks, including the West End Food Bank, one of the largest in the country, and of course now famous as the place where I, Daniel Blake, was filmed. I think of Izzy, a woman who has chosen to give her expertise to community work in a poor part of the city, which is a far cry from her relatively affluent parish in a leafy suburb of Newcastle. Malcolm, who's so enthusiastic, he literally bubbles with energy for our recently launched Companions of St Aidan, which is a group of like-minded clergy and lay who are committing to a rule of life and actions that should encourage the making of new disciples in our dispersed communities. So that's, I think, where we're up to, but we feel there's much more to do. I think the statistic that keeps ringing in my head is the one that says 67% of non-churchgoers know a Christian, and yet only 2% of non-churchgoers know a clergy person. And that just keeps ringing and reminding me of the importance of lay involvement and lay discipleship and leadership to bring God to the people who are outside of the church.
And do you feel that the success of Lay Voices has enabled the diocese to engage more with setting God's people free?
For us, the report Setting God's People Free has been a great gift. It feels like we've had a present, and it comes at the same time as the diocese are launching a new vision. Our new vision is Growing Church, Bringing Hope. And I think this, with the Setting God's People Free report, are providing us with great opportunities to ask ourselves some questions and decide which direction we're in. So, I mean, the questions that I think are uppermost for me are, what are the changes in culture required in Newcastle Diocese to equip everyone as disciples? Another one is, how can we nurture and encourage clergy and lay to believe that they are equal in worth and status as partners in mission? Our experience has confirmed this, to me, three important pieces of evidence that we need to build on. And the first thing that I think throughout the last 3 years is that it's the importance of lay leadership in both the gathered and dispersed church. We have talented people within our churches who I think we need to nurture and affirm and utilise to share the leadership with the clergy so that they can actually lead others to go out confidently as disciples into workplaces and communities. I think secondly, we've discovered that before we can mobilise people to be confident to share their faith stories with others, they need to understand what discipleship's about, and they need to commit to the concept of discipleship. So I think our learning is we need to take time again to hear voices and to help those voices access resources and to take what their needs and their concerns are into account. And I think in many of our parishes, my own included, lay people don't feel confident to think that they are important enough to be disciples. That's something we need to change. So I think the proposals in the document, Setting God's People Free, I think for Newcastle and Diocese, it can be an enabler to help us with our priorities and our new vision of growing the church and bringing hope.
That was a story worth sharing from the Church of England. Thanks for listening.